Huang. Welcome to a special edition of the Social Media Church podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And today I'm joined by Paul Steinbruch in Florida. He runs a Christian web company as well as an elder at his local church. And we wanted to just glean from his experience in being involved in social media and internet for so many years. So, Paul, welcome to the Social Media Church podcast.
Thanks, DJ. It's great to be with you.
Now, you're a church leader yourself, and you work with church leaders. So describe what it is that you do.
Well, vocationally, I am co-founder and CEO of OurChurch.com, and our mission is to help Christian organizations achieve their mission online. And so the way that we do that is by we provide website services like web design and web hosting, and we do search marketing through our services and some advertising services as well. But also because our mission is to help Christian organizations achieve their mission online, we don't just provide services, but I really feel compelled to help people understand how to communicate better and why to use certain tools. And so that's why I'm so active as far as blogging and social media and really helping people to understand how to communicate more effectively.
Yes, and you've done a great job at that. One of the things that I've noticed is just your active participation online, and you're an incredibly prolific blogger at your church, Christian Web Trends blog. And when did you start getting really active on that as you saw trends happening?
I think that we just had our seventh anniversary of doing that. And, you know, I'm the primary blogger there, but I really couldn't do it without the help of other people. We have guest bloggers who blog, and also other folks on staff at OurChurch.com have helped me. Recently, we've been doing a lot of video blogging, and so it's been very helpful to share the load when it comes to that.
Great. Well, as a live podcast recording here, we've got some audience that's watching this live stream. We're using the Google Plus Hangout on Air technology. And on the event page, for those of you watching, you can add a comment or question for Paul or for me, and we'll incorporate it into our conversation later in our episode. So you've been at this internet thing since 1996 with your company and also probably in your church. So what have you seen develop in recent years as social media has become such a big part of our mainstream culture, and how can the church use it more effectively?
Well, I think, you know, social media, like you said, social media is becoming more mainstream. But the big, I guess the big thing that I've seen in recent years is just the explosion in the number of options that are out there. You know, originally when we talked about social media, it was almost synonymous with Facebook. But then, you know, Twitter popped up, and then it's kind of like Facebook and Twitter. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got Pinterest and Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn and Google Plus. And so, you know, I think just in the recent years, there are just a myriad of options out there and opportunities to connect with people in different ways, to communicate your message in different ways. And so, you know, that's both a blessing and a curse, I think, in some ways. You know, lots of great opportunities, but it also leads to a lot of confusion and also a sense of being overwhelmed and not knowing where to start and things like that.
Yeah, so for the typical church, perhaps they're just overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. So how do you advise them to get started?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I would probably, if you're not involved in anywhere in social media, I would start just by being a user on Facebook. I mean, it is still the biggest social network and the most popular one out there. So, and I'm a big advocate that before you start using Facebook or using any social media tool as an organization, you really want to personally understand how to use it. So you're kind of on the other end. You know what it's like to receive messages from organizations and see that in your stream and interact with other people. So start as a user. And then once you feel like you have a grasp of it that way, then you can work more towards, you know, using it as an organization. But, you know, I would probably encourage even more just to look for people in your own church who are already active in social media, and you know, use their insight and their enthusiasm for the tools.
Now, church being church and ministry being ministry, there's always more work that can be done than we have time or people to finish. So how do you advise a pastor, a typical church leader, to manage their time with social media so it doesn't become a 24/7 kind of thing?
Well, I think that you really have to go in understanding what your purpose for being in there is. You know, why am I doing this? And then once you know why you're engaged in social media, then who am I trying to connect with there? And hopefully by starting with why and who, you'll focus down and not feel like, you know, I need to connect with everybody and talk about every topic there is. But, you know, maybe your focus is I'm just going to connect with people in my church, or people in my church and some people, leaders in the community, or something like that. So I think it's important to focus, you know, so that you do limit your time. And I think it's a good idea to try to block out segments of time. I mean, you know, I think most pastors and people in ministry are very busy and have to schedule their time. So treat social media like any other appointment that you might have, and schedule time for social media.
Okay, so let's drill down on a couple of examples. How are you able to be so prolific at Christian web trends and to be involved on Twitter, actively on the Tuesday evening for your time, Chesakam Twitter chat? I mean, I see you very active online. Like, do you have anything else to do?
Yeah, I do. I've got a business to run and a lovely wife and three kids and a church and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, plenty to do. And, you know, I think it, first of all, let me just say that I am by no means perfect at this. I mean, there have been times where I've let social media take up more time than it should. And there have also been times when I've let other things crowd out social media, and I've felt like I've been doing too much talking and not enough listening and engaging. And so I'm not an expert on this, and I think it's always a work in progress. But I mean, some of the things that I do, especially, I mean, I guess I would just call them little tips for this, is when it comes to my blogging, I really try to batch create my content. And what I mean by that is, don't just like every day wake up in the morning and think, oh, what am I going to blog about today? And then, you know, it takes a while to get into the mood and get your creative juices going. So instead of doing that every day, my goal is pick out, you know, block out some time one day a week, write all my blog posts for the next week. And really, you kind of get in a rhythm. It takes much less time. And I think that's even a good idea when it comes to social media. If you have a strategy and you know, I want to do this on, you know, maybe I want to tweet a certain thing, you know, each day, or maybe have certain topics I want to tweet about or post about on different days, having a strategy and a structure that you work within is very helpful. And then you can develop your, you know, some of your content strategy at the beginning of the week, so you're not thinking about that all week. You still obviously want to be listening to people and retweeting other good stuff that you find and reading throughout the week. But if you have your own content schedule figured out at the beginning of the week, that saves a lot of time throughout the week. So I think that's a little tip. Another thing is just really to, I try to lean into systems and delegating as much as possible. I do schedule some tweets and posts to go out so that I don't have to be there at the exact time when they're going to happen. And I've got an assistant who helps me with some of the production on some things and things as well. So I think that's another area too, where you can systemize some things and delegate.
That's a great tip, to bulk write your blog posts and schedule it over time. Mm-hmm. Fantastic takeaway as well. How do you stay engaged on the other social media? I mean, how much time are you blocking for your blogging? And then what other channels do you stay active in, and how much time do you use? We want to get real specific here.
Yeah, I mean, blogging's kind of hard to say. I mean, I do, it just depends on the post and how long it goes and so forth. But I mean, my goal is to block out 3 or 4 hours once a week and then write 5 posts in that time. And it doesn't always work that well. I still struggle with doing it on time and being ahead, but that's the goal with that. And as far as other engagement, I mean, I'm not real particular about how specific the amount of time is, but I do try to be involved with Facebook just from a personal standpoint. I don't connect with a lot of people, you know, in social media or, you know, leadership type stuff or other things through Facebook. It really is personal friends and family. But I try to be involved in there regularly. And Twitter, I have lists created that helps me to focus my engagement on certain people who are thought leaders in social media and Christian communications and things like that. And Google Plus to me is a big one where I really see that as being a great opportunity. And I really see them very soon possibly becoming the number one social network out there. I see a lot of potential with that. So trying to engage in communities as well as posting and using circles there to focus my time. So, I mean, ideally I'd like to spend total in all of that, maybe 30 minutes a day, but it probably runs longer than that. I don't track my time exactly either with all that. So I hope that gives you a little peek behind the curtain there.
No, I think that's really helpful because time is the unanswerable question. Mm-hmm. And so just learning from the examples of other, I know it's really helpful. And I'm glad to know I'm mortal too. It takes me about an hour to compose a blog post. And mm-hmm. I like to, you know, connect to links and stuff where, mm-hmm. You know, related content is linked right in. Mm-hmm. You're also very active at your church. So tell me about your church mm-hmm. and how is your church using social media? And I'm guessing because vocationally you're working with church websites, I'm not sure if how that crosses over into your church involvement, how you advise your church and its website and web social media strategies.
Yeah, well, my church is Cypress Meadows Community Church in Clearwater, Florida, and it's a Christian and Missionary Alliance church, kind of a mid-sized church, about 500 people in average attendance on a Sunday. And I mean, I serve as an elder there, and so, you know, I have some leadership responsibilities and I kind of make some recommendations and guidance, but I'm not the communications director there. And so, you know, it's kind of a, I feel like I haven't done as much to really move our church forward in social media. We do have a Facebook page and we do have a Twitter profile as well. We do primarily basically broadcast announcements through social media, which is not optimal, but at least it's engaging people, it's getting some content out there. We do post our Sunday sermons in Vimeo, and then we share that on a blog that's on our church website, and so that gets shared through Facebook and Twitter too. So it's fairly limited at this point. I'd like to see more involvement, more just discussion and conversation and things in social media. But you know, it's one of those things where I struggle with how engaged do I want to be as a volunteer and so forth.
Yeah, and while it's limited, it is a start. So mm-hmm. just to get churches started to use Twitter and Facebook and broadcast and share their content that they produce every Sunday mm-hmm. in the pulpit, just to do that is actually a huge step for a majority of churches. Now, we have a question that just came in from Armand Sheffy. So let me take in a few questions before we continue our conversation. Awesome. So a question for you, Paul. As more and more social networks are popping up and has shown an impact, negative and positive, on congregation interaction, how has that had an impact on congregational interaction on previously used social networks? Has a product like the Table Project been seen effective or an additional distraction?
That's a great question. I'm not familiar specifically with the Table Project. Is that like a private social network?
Yes, it's a private social network targeted for churches, and it's free.
Yeah, okay. Well, I would say that definitely as more social networks, you know, crop up, you end up with more segmenting of your congregation. You know, you have some people who use Facebook, some people who use Twitter, some people who use Pinterest, but some people who use Google Plus, but you're not going to find everybody using all of them. And so it does become a challenge for a church because obviously, you know, we're all limited in terms of our time and our resources and so forth. And so, you know, the answer, there's no one particular answer. You know, some people do ask me, you know, which social media, you know, should or network should we be using? And there isn't one right answer for all churches. I think you really have to look at, you know, first of all, where is my congregation now? You know, and you may have to survey people and ask them, what do you use? And in that, you determine where is it, you know, worth investing your time. And then you've got to ask yourself, where are the people I want to reach? Also, you know, maybe they're not, you know, maybe the people you want to reach are younger and they're on Instagram or something like that. So you want to do more with Instagram. And the other question, obviously, is how much time do I have to dedicate to that? And so, you know, your answer is going to be different as you go. But I think you've got to really ask those questions and be strategic, and don't feel just like, you know, because there's some shiny new toy out there that you have to jump on it, and you've got to be on every social network.
Yeah. Okay. So let's give you a challenge question for pastors that aren't yet using social media. What can they do in 1 hour per week?
Well, you know, the big thing that I would say is to create a team of volunteers so that you're not the one doing it. I mean, the best thing that any leader can do is leverage their time through other people. And so I would really recommend, I do think it's good for pastors to be involved in social media personally, and so you have an understanding of it. But really, the pastor shouldn't be the one running the social media at the church. You can lead it, you can give direction and so forth, but you know, there's probably people at the church who understand it even better than you as a pastor and have more time and can really be focused on it. So if I had an hour, I'd have a meeting with my volunteers once a week and plan the content and develop the strategy.
Great thought. Keen insight. Thank you. Another question has come in on our event page. Chandra Lee asks, do you think your church is open to helping with the social media?
Do I think my church is in the members of the church, the volunteers? I guess that's where we'll go. I guess you don't have a opportunity to clarify online, but I mean, I do think that in my church personally, I do think so. And I think in most churches, people who are engaged online enjoy it. They have fun with it. They get excited by the opportunities to communicate about their faith and about their church online. And I think most of the time they just haven't been asked. And, you know, if people are asked and you say, hey, I see you're really involved in Facebook, or I see you're really involved in Twitter, hey, would you mind, you know, let's get together for a cup of coffee and let's talk about how maybe we could be more strategic in having you involved in what the church is doing. I think most people would say yes.
Well, our audience is watching live, and Chandra has clarified her question. I meant, do they really want help with the social media?
Do churches?
Well, I could think, your church specifically, since it's not social media.
Like, does my church really want help? I think that's a good question. You know, I'm not sure that my church really values social media to the point where they really see it as much of an opportunity as I personally do. And so I think in a lot of times, you know, if you, let's say you're a volunteer in your church and your church is not that excited about it, a lot of times you have to say, hey, this is something I'm really passionate about. Would you mind if I do this, you know, and ask for permission? And, you know, it's going to be a little bit challenging at first, depending on how, you know, how controlling your leadership is and so forth like that. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, if the church has the mentality where, hey, this seems nice, but we just don't have the time, if somebody steps up and says, hey, you know, I'd really like to dedicate some time to this, hopefully your church will say, wow, that sounds awesome. You know, show me what you want to do. And they'll empower you and release you to do it. But I understand that's not the culture in a lot of churches. You know, a lot of churches, there is fear about social media. And, you know, they're kind of like, oh, we don't want people talking about us, but we're not sure what somebody's going to say. We want you to have it, you know, approved and something signed 3 times in triplicate before you post it online. And then you're like, okay, maybe this isn't going to work with my church. But hopefully churches are changing and leaning more towards empowering their members rather than trying to keep them in line.
Yeah, it still amazes me that there are churches out there and they don't really tell their own story. So they leave it to the public, other people, to tell their story. Mm-hmm. And most of the time they get it wrong. And so if you don't join the conversation and have your own voice, then you've relegated a huge opportunity and just given it over to those watchdog blogs.
Yeah, I agree completely, DJ. And I mean, that's what I hear a lot of times. Well, if we're on social media, you know, people might post stuff about us that's nasty, or they might criticize us or something like that. And, you know, the response is, people are doing that already. You know, people are going to do that. The real issue is whether you're going to facilitate the discussion, mm-hmm. or whether you're going to be out there listening, or whether you can respond. It's going to happen one way or the other. It's just a matter of whether your church is going to be a part of the conversation or not.
There you go. All right. Well, as a trend watcher at your blog and personally and vocationally, what do you see as the biggest opportunity for churches that are just getting started with social media, kind of the low-hanging fruits? Where can they really engage fairly easily?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest opportunity, again, as I said before, the biggest opportunity really is to leverage your volunteers, you know. And so I really think most churches have people in them that are ready to be involved in social media that they're just not making the most of. So I think that's really the biggest opportunity. But since we've kind of talked about that already, just, you know, in terms of technology, I really think that that Google Plus is going to be a big thing in the future. But in terms of low-hanging fruit, you know, the easiest place to get started, I would really say start with Facebook, because that's where the most people are. That's where you're going to find the most engagement, and you're going to have the most people in your church who would be willing to volunteer and help in the communication of that. So you can create a Facebook page, and you know, at the very least, you can, I know some social media gurus are going to cringe when I say this, but you can broadcast your announcements and your sermon. I mean, at least you're putting something up there, which gives the people in your church the opportunity to share what you're doing. And, you know, that's another thing that I really believe in terms of the mindset. A lot of times churches have this mindset that, you know, we need to reach people, we need to communicate, you know, all this stuff. But really, what I would encourage church leaders to think in a little bit differently, that what you really want to do is empower your congregation, because they have the personal connections with people in the community. They have personal connections with other people in the church. So it's not like the church broadcasting to the world. It's like the church providing content and information that the church members can communicate with their friends and family. And that's the strategy and the mentality I would really encourage churches to have when they go into it.
Very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you. We've got a few questions that have come in during the week. So what is the most effective social media network for churches to use to communicate? And you've hinted at Facebook.
Yeah, I would say Facebook, but, you know, just to reiterate something else is, I really think you've got to ask your congregation. I mean, you may be in a congregation where everybody's using Twitter. And so, I mean, you really have to ask people where they are.
Good. So have the church meet people where they are rather than build it and hope they come.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good. Does direct mail have any place in church communication efforts anymore?
Wow, that's a great question. Direct mail. I mean, I have not, you know, my church did quite a bit of direct mail probably 5 to 10 years ago, and we found it to be very effective then, but then we stopped. And I don't really know all the reasons why we stopped, but I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to try something like that. You know, everything when it comes to communication really is a matter of experimentation. You measure the results, and then you either tweak it and try again, or you say, hey, this didn't work. And so, I mean, I think that goes for every kind of social media, you know, if you're going to do text broadcasts, if you're going to do like voicemail broadcasts, or if you're going to do direct mail, whatever kind of communication, try it and see how it works for you and your community.
Yeah, and there's kind of two aspects to communication. There's communicating to people that are outside your church, and then there's communication mm-hmm. to stay in touch with the people in your church. And direct mail is kind of the outside effort. And I'm beginning to see not only direct mail kind of shrinking, but more toward more churches are putting their money in terms of advertising marketing to Google ads and Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. What's your experience been on that front?
It's been somewhat limited, but we did have a great response when we did Facebook ads for a Christmas production that we did a few years ago. We had, I forget what it was, but we had maybe 50 people or something like that that came because of Facebook ads. And it was very cost effective in terms of the amount of money that was spent and the number of people who came. But I do very much also believe in Google AdSense or AdWords advertising, because if somebody, I think it's really important for churches to do search engine optimization, first of all, so that people can find your church. But in addition to that, you have the opportunity where you can pay for advertising on Google. And so if somebody says, you know, I'm looking for a church in Wichita, you know, if your church is in Wichita, you should be there in the search engines, whether you're doing it through search engine optimization or advertising.
Good thought. And one more follow-up. How much time should be spent in social media each day, each week, and each month? And how much is too much time?
Well, you know, I don't think that's a question that I can answer for everybody. It really is going to depend on your what your job is, what your schedule is, and all that sort of stuff. If you're the social media director for your church, that's your title, then probably 40 hours a week. But if you're, you know, if your job is, you know, you're the pastor and you're the youth director and you're the website guy and you're the social media guy, then, you know, you're going to have to limit your time. So it really isn't something where I can define it for you. It's really something where you've got to see, you know, I would say at a minimum, probably 15 minutes a day to just go through and see what's going on. But if you're going to create content, it's going to take more time for that. I don't think that's the first question to ask, how much time. I think the question to ask is, you know, what do I want to accomplish? What are my goals? What's my purpose for doing it? And then budget time based on what you want to accomplish.
Good, good. A better starting point. And you've given us a few examples to just help us get our hands around the time. Now, mm-hmm. Do you know any churches with a social media director where it is their full-time thing?
I don't, actually. So I don't know any churches where that's their sole title. You know, obviously there are quite a few that have a communications director, and usually social media falls under them. And usually I think they're pretty mindful of empowering volunteers and having them engaged in social media too. So they're not the ones directly doing all the social media stuff either, but planning it, strategizing, empowering their staff and everything.
Okay, the questions are rolling now. So here's one from Chandra. What do you think about ministries and pastors that purchase followers and likes and views on social media to appear more appealing?
Gosh, I can't see. I don't see any value in buying followers. I mean, I do understand a little bit the mentality behind it. There is this concept called social proof, which you may be aware of, DJ, which is just this idea that, you know, if somebody sees a lot of people following or liking or something, they think, wow, this must be worthwhile, so I should follow them or engage also. And so I understand a little bit of the mentality behind that, but there's really, I don't think there's much value in that. And it just is inauthentic, I think, to just be, to purchase followers. People expect that your followers are there because they want to follow you. And ultimately, you know, anybody who, if you buy followers, they're not going to engage with you. They're not really listening and so forth. So there's no real value in terms of, you know, advancing what your goals are as a ministry.
Well, let's turn that around. How can you legitimately build followership? Just a couple tips on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, well, that is
the two most popular.
That's a great question. I mean, I think that probably there's really two aspects to it that come to mind for me. One is, you follow people who you want to engage with. And I mean, a lot of people will, you follow them, they'll follow you back. You know, and you don't just follow people so that they'll follow you back, but you follow people who you have common interest in. I mean, obviously, you know, if you follow somebody in your church, you would hope that they would follow you back, and, you know, they'd want to grow that relationship. And also same, you know, with people in your community, if you have charities or business leaders, people on the city council and things like that, hopefully if you're a leader in your church, you can connect with them and they may have a willingness to connect with you to accomplish things in the community. So, I mean, I think following people who you share a common interest with is one thing. And then the other thing is that is to create and share quality content. I mean, people connect really for, there's probably more reasons than that, but those are the two that come to mind. One is to establish a relationship. The other is because they find what you share to be worthwhile. And so if you, you know, if you're, that this is what the challenge is that, you know, you have to think from the mentality of, you know, I'm leading a church. What are the people in my community going to be interested in? So what's going to, you know, if you're really going to be effective, it has to be something that would be broad enough for the community, but narrow enough that it's kind of geographically based to make, you know, the content worthwhile. And so I think that's a great strategy that churches can have. They can talk about events coming up in the community or opportunities, other charities that are doing work, schools that have events and things like that. If you can become a source for information and connection in your community, then that gives people another reason to follow you and to connect with you.
Great. Okay, we got a question from Barry Westman. Hey, Barry. We are just about to hire a part-time IT/media director at our church who will be in charge of social media. What advice would you give him as he begins to evaluate and improve our church's social media?
Well, I think the best piece of advice that I would give would be to connect with other communications directors. I mean, other people who have a similar role at their churches. And, you know, the thing is that we all, you know, as a follower of Christ, we're not, you know, church leaders, people on staff at churches are not in it just for their church. They're in it for the building of the kingdom of God. And so church leaders at other churches and communications directors, they want to see their brothers and sisters succeed. And so, you know, I'm sure that, you know, somebody in that role, they connect with other people who are communications directors, other people who chat and blog about communications, that they would be more than happy to connect with them, answer questions for them, give them feedback on their strategy or their tactics that they're using and so forth. And it's really helpful to have a good sounding board and to have somebody who understands what you're going through as well.
You've been at this website building business for, let's see, since 1996. So that's, what, 17 years now?
Yeah, coming up on 17 years, yeah.
Wow. Have you kept a tally of just how many websites and churches you've worked with?
Well, the you know, we do websites in a couple of different ways. The biggest way that we help churches is we have an online web builder that people can, they can come to ourchurch.com and they can click to build a site and they can build their own site. And so when that happens, we provide support for them. We provide the hosting for them, but we're not directly involved in the building of their site. And so, you know, we have served tens of thousands of organizations, probably, you know, over 10,000 churches in that capacity. You know, but it's not quite the direct involvement that we have when we custom design a site for somebody or do the search engine optimization for them to help them be found in, you know, when people are searching for a church in their community. So it's a lot of churches over the years, and it's been an amazing blessing to be able to do that. I mean, there's few things that give me as much fulfillment as knowing that we've been able to help so many churches in that way.
Wonderful. And out of those thousands of churches that you worked with, which are two or three of the best examples of a church that is using social media well?
Gosh, you know, I still have to say that a lot of the churches that we work with don't use social media well. So I'm hard pressed to pick a good example, but one that I would say is that comes to mind is Knott Avenue Christian Church, which I think is in, it might be in Anaheim.
Yeah, it's in driving distance of where I live.
Okay. They're a church that we've helped with their web design and so and their search engine optimization, and I think they do a fairly good job with their social media stuff as well. That's one that comes to mind, but I'll be honest that I don't have a lot. I need to do a little bit more of just engaging with churches who are doing it well so that I can cite examples for people. I mean, there's nothing better than having good examples to learn from.
That's right, because and you've got so much expertise, and I know the entry point for many churches that do come to you is, you know, get a good website, get it search engine optimized, get some content strategy in place, and then kind of the next building block would potentially be social media. So let's see you grow in that area, because you're certainly serving the community through your blogging. How about outside of your client base then? What churches do you kind of keep an eye on as inspiration for how to use social media in the church world?
You know, I kind of, there's a few that I kind of look at, and, you know, I feel like I haven't been as engaged in watching them as I would like to, but I still look at churches like lifechurch.tv, obviously very innovative, and North Point and Granger Community Church as being really innovative and leaders when it comes to communication and social media stuff. So those are some, and I mean, there's a ton that are doing good stuff out there, but those are three that come to mind.
Good. And as web trends, what are you seeing and where is all this headed?
That's a great question as to where I see it. I mean, I still think that churches are still at the, you know, at the very starting point. Most of them are anyway. I mean, I think social media in terms of just is kind of being embraced mainstream by individuals, but it's not really been embraced fully by churches. And so I still think that churches have a long way to go in that. And I think a lot of churches are still just experimenting, kind of flying by the seat of their pants. And so, I mean, I really see there being a lot of opportunities for maturing in that way, in terms of embracing it, in terms of developing a strategy that is, you know, a long-term strategy with goals, integrating it with your website and with your overall communication strategy. And you know, I see that being the direction in terms of just a mature, more maturing in terms of the technology and its use and so forth like that. And I do just think that social media, you know, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere, and it's going to just become more integrated in our lives, I think, in the way that we communicate. And it's going to continue to be very personal. You know, people will individually choose who they want to listen to and what organizations they want to listen to and what type of content. And so it's really going to be, you know, a thing where we have to all kind of listen and pay attention and evolve as the technology and the culture evolves.
Well, very good. Paul, thank you so much for joining me here on the Social Media Church podcast. And we'll add some links in the show notes to Paul's blog over there, ourchurch.com, and the Christian Web Trends blog.
That's it.
blog.ourchurch.com. And I'll give you his Twitter handle. And if you have some articles you want to feature, shoot me an email. Add that into the show notes.
Okay.
Thank you for the audience that's been watching with us on this special live edition of the Social Media Church. And stay connected with us at socialmediachurch.net. And we'll see you next time online.